Okay, so first of all, I would like to also to thank the organizer for this great conference. And I have to apologize because originally I gave a different title, and I wanted to speak about something else because the title of the workshop was Full Yellow and Related Topics. But during the week, I realized that my interpretation of related topics was a bit far-fetched, so I decided to stick, I hope, to the main theme of this conference. And I want to report on some works on long-range correlations in non-equilibrium systems. And there are works, these works have been done in collaboration with Bernard Derrida, Joël Leibowitz, who's here, Vivien Lecomte, and Frédéric van Vijlande. So this talk will be very much in the spirit of Jonas' talk yesterday and also related to Günther's talk a few days ago. Basically, it's going to be about stochastic dynamics, purely stochastic and nothing complicated. And I'd like to discuss some facts on invariant measure and correlations in these non-equilibrium systems. So what we've seen, I mean, this week is that there's, of course, a lot of work on the problem of full yellow. Basically, when you have a system in contact with two reservoirs and would like to understand the flux of the heat current, say, in the system. To tell you the truth, I'm not totally sure that, I mean, this issue is going to be solved by the end of the conference. But I guess that within 1 or 2 weeks' time, I mean, that should be all right. And therefore, we should think of what to do next. And the next step is definitely trying to understand not only on the mean flux, but trying to understand about the statistic of this invariant measure and the structure of the steady state. And in particular, the long-range correlation, which are a generic feature in these systems. For those who might be a bit more pessimistic, it's still interesting to understand, I guess, steady state, because one of the key words we heard during this conference is local equilibrium. So local equilibrium, what does it really mean, at least when one can do some exact computation? What is the distance from the actual measure to its local equilibrium? How the measure is modified due to the action of the current which flows in the system? So this is basically the kind of question I'd like to address. So the models are much simpler than all these deterministic models we've seen earlier. And basically, one will have, say, n sites again with stochastic bulk dynamics. So particles can hop to the left, to the right. There might be some exclusion rules. Indeed, I'm going to focus on very specific models later on. And the reservoirs are just injection of particle on one side with certain rates, and on the other side, on the other side of the system, also injection with different rates. Okay, these are both rates, and basically particles that might be created in this side perform a kind of stochastic dynamics and might be removed over there, and we'll try to understand the flux which is going through the system and the nature of the correlation in the invariant state. So one of the simplest model to fix the idea is symmetric simple exclusion process, where particles basically perform random walks with, say, rate 1 to the left or to the right, and there's this exclusion rule, which means that if a particle tries to jump over another one, jump is prevented. What is interesting in this system is that if the creation rate and annihilation rate here are similar of those on the other side, then the system is in equilibrium. And there, the equilibrium measure is completely trivial in the sense that it's a product of Bernoulli measure. So we have a full control on this measure. completely independent at each site. It's a product Bernoulli measure. This is a steady state. As soon as you create a flux in the system, as soon as you inject a bit more on one side than on the other side, then you break the reversibility of your Markov chain. Okay, you don't know many things. And in particular, one will be interested, I mean, one is interested in understanding the steady state. Yeah? No, I meant so something proportional, but say the easiest would be you create as much here as at least the rate of creation alpha here is the same as delta, and the rate of yes, let's say are the same, and beta and gamma are the same.
Then you might be injecting more than you are absorbing.
Not on average. I mean, if alpha is the same as delta,
injection, right?
Yes, delta is injection. Yes. So. No, you see, you can't inject too much because there the particles have to travel. Otherwise, I mean, you can't inject too many at one site, sorry. So there's also this exclusion rule. Yes. And essentially, I mean, this is going to thermalize at a certain density, which will be the same as this one if you take the proper rule. So, but if they are equal, if you inject, I mean, if they are equal on both sides, it's so right. It's mainly due to the exclusion rule. I mean, you can tune your injection for models which don't have this constraint, but okay. So in fact, for symmetric simple exclusion, has been very much studied and almost everything is known. And in particular, just to answer your question, this reservoir, so these rates, are going to maintain at the boundary two densities, rho A, which is alpha divided by alpha plus beta, and rho B, delta divided by delta plus gamma, which are my injection rates. And therefore, when they're equal, for example, that would mean the system is in equilibrium. And otherwise, one can compute that there is a linear density profile going from rho A to rho B at the macroscopic scale, and this is Fourier law, or fixed law for particle diffusion. The second thing which can be computed, and again computed exactly, I insist on that, is the truncated two-point correlation function. So basically, what is the correlation between a site I here and a site J there? And the correlation between I and J are, so when I is different from J, are given by a function C, which is written here. So, and in front, okay, so C open, which would be the correlation, the long-range correlation in the open case, is expressed in terms of the difference of density to the square and x 1 minus y, when x is less than y. And symmetric, of course, in the other direction. So the three important facts. First, the current in this system is given by the difference of densities. So the correlation are zero when there's no current, and otherwise, as soon as there's some current, long-range correlation appear. Second important fact is that these correlations are small. They are of order 1 over n, where n is the size of the system. So this goes in the spirit of local equilibrium. They are very small. Locally, if I take two sites, they are very small corrections. However, this decay is completely different from the usual decay one would observe in equilibrium, which in one dimension would be exponential decay. There, two macroscopic sites, X and Y, see each other. It doesn't decay exponentially when X and Y are far apart. So the correlations are minute, 1 over N. This is, so I insist, this local equilibrium we believe exists in generically. However, they're seriously long range. And overall, one might think, okay, they're long range, but they're small. So is there some impact on the system? And indeed, there's one, because if you look at global quantities like the global correlations which are related to the total variance of density in your system, then this very small correlation which don't decay are going to sum, and ultimately you get net effect from this correlation. So they're small, but they're there, and globally they have some impact. So this, has been, at least to my knowledge, this exact microscopic computation can be found in a paper by Herbert Spohn in okay, so no, this would work too, but I had in mind something easier, which is look at your sum over n. I mean, look at the mean density in your system. Look at the variance of that. And so ultimately, you have all the cross correlations, and each of them is small, but it doesn't decay, so this sum up, and you get some extra contribution due to this minute long-range correlation. But when you look locally, when you try to prove Fourier law, and you look locally at a very chunk of a very small chunk of your system, it's okay. You have 1/n corrections. The second approach, much more ambitious actually, to derive correlation structure also in non-equilibrium system can be found in at least first for this case of symmetric simple exclusion in a paper by Derrida, Leibovitz, and Speer, where they computed the large deviation function. So what does it mean? The large deviation function, basically you expect to see with high probability the linear density profile. This is Fourier law. However, you may ask, what is the probability of observing another density profile, say rho of x? This is exponentially small. I mean, this has a minute probability. It decays like exponentially fast with a prefactor n when the size goes to infinity of the system, and you get a function f of rho. What I would like to argue is that this correlation are somehow also encoded, and much more, but the correlations are encoded in this large deviation function. Instead of looking at this large deviation, so let me recall, probability of observing rho, which is decays like exponentially minus n f of rho, one might consider the conjugated parameter and look at what is the probability of exponential lambda will be a smooth varying function, and eta I is the whether you have a particle or not at site I. So it's just the Laplace transform. I mean, it's related to the Laplace transform of this density. And this quantity converges to a function g of lambda, where lambda, say, is a smooth function in 0, 1. And g of lambda, it's well known, at least, that it can be understood in terms of these large deviations. And g of lambda will be related to f of rho as a Legendre transform. Now, if on the other hand, if you look at just this this side, and you take a derivative with respect to lambda, well, you obtain correlations in your system. So what should be a generic fact for systems which don't have phase transitions, say, is that g of lambda, so of course there's an inverse of limit over there, but what one hope is that since the derivative of this function here are related to correlation, once we pass to the limit, some structure of the correlation should be encoded in this g of lambda. Okay, and in particular, when I expand for lambda small, when I expand g of lambda, what do I see? But first order in lambda, one should see the equilibrium profile. Then if I have in mind the symmetric simple exclusion, second order in lambda, I start to see the local correlation due to the equilibrium correlation, I mean locally, and then extra terms which are coming from the long range structure of the correlations. Okay? So the claim is, what basically I'm going to work on is on expansion of this large deviation function. But a priori, within this expansion, one should be able, thanks to this expansion, to predict the two-point correlation function. Mathematically, it's not at all obvious how to go from one to another, but at least one can believe it's correct. I have to confess, it's not always correct, in the sense that for some model, one can prove, which have singularities, one can prove that you cannot relate so easily correlations and large deviation function. But okay, in general, it has a certain validity, and at least what I'm going to say up to now is only about expansion of this large deviation function. Okay. What was explained in Jonas' talk is that this is indeed, pretty hard to get any idea of this invariant or the steady state. Because the steady state is very complicated. However, there's another way of approaching it, which is purely dynamical. Because the dynamics we understand, we started from the dynamics. The steady state is just the outcome of these dynamics after an infinite amount of time. But over a relatively short time, for this model, one can rephrase the models and look at it on a macroscopic scale, by which I mean the microscopic scale has been rescaled by n. In this diffusive model, the time has been rescaled by n squared. And ultimately, for this class of model, one expects that the typical density follows some hydrodynamic limit given by this diffusive equation. And the question, there is an equivalent question to the one I've phrased before, which was, what is the probability of observing some atypical density profile in the steady state? It is now, what is the probability of observing an atypical trajectory for the dynamics? Turns out that it's infinitely easier. Well, at least this has been solved earlier, and originally in the paper by Kipnis, Ola, Varadan. But there are, very, very many papers afterwards, and okay, I couldn't quote everybody. So, let me rephrase what I meant. We look at an arbitrary macroscopic evolution, so not necessarily something which follows this equation. And now we want to see what is the probability of observing this deviation or this trajectory, which is not the typical one. And again, these scales, like n, when n goes to infinity, and there is some a functional. Okay. So, and this functional has been computed in various class of models. And from that, we've been told yesterday by Yanni is that we can compute or understand the large deviation functional of the steady state. Let me just rephrase it briefly. How can we see that? Well, I want to observe some atypical profile in the steady state, say gamma of x. Can observe it at time zero. My system has been prepared at time minus infinity, and at time zero I want to observe this gamma of x, and it's exactly the same thing since it's a steady state as observing gamma of x a little bit later at time t. So let's see what it means. It means that at certain time t I want to observe gamma of x. And I run my dynamic over this length of time. Well, I had to be somewhere at time zero, and the most likely was that I was in the steady state. And therefore, to observe gamma of x at time t, when t is large, it means that dynamically there has been a fluctuation going from the steady state to this gamma of x. And the theory of Friedman and Wenzel was to say, well, it means that the probability of observing gamma of x, basically the large deviation function of the steady state, can be understood in terms as the optimal trajectory from going from equilibrium or the steady state to the optimal time-dependent fluctuation from going to from the steady state to this gamma of x. So this is what has been explained yesterday, and this this is a beautiful theory which has been put on firm grounds by Bertini, Dessolé, Gabrielli, Jonalasigno, and Landin. I'm basically going to use this expression and to work at the level of the large deviation functional, trying to discuss this optimization problem. How to solve the, what is the best fluctuation to go from one, the steady state to an 80, I mean, a given profile. It turns out that in general, it's very difficult, and beside a few explicit cases, one cannot, or nobody found really a way of expressing this large deviation function. However, there is, perturbatively, there is a clear now strategy, which is to expand, say, around Hobart. And if I want now to observe a very small, so this would be the steady state Hobart, and I would like now to observe, say, a very small deviation, rho of x. And maybe perturbatively for minute deviation, I can access to this quantity by solving this this variational principle. So not the full one, but just small fluctuations or small deviation from the steady state. And of course, when I say small deviation from the steady state, I have in mind expansion of the large deviation function, and I hope I convince you that within this expansion, the two-point correlation or, and later on three-point and so on are hidden. Okay. So the strategy will be basically solve or work on this variational principle and expand around the steady state and try in some in a few concrete cases try to deduce some facts hopefully of interest for non-equilibrium systems. One of the first models I would like to comment on is the so-called ABC model. So basically, this first or second part now of the talk, almost last because it's going fast, will be related to phase transition. So in this ABC model, the system, it's an extension of the model I mentioned first. You have three types of particles, A, B, or C. There's no void, okay? So you have either at each site, you can have eta I can be equal to A, to B, or to C. And each of these species is going to diffuse, however, or to move according to some stochastic rules, but there's going to be a bias. For example, so imagine Q is less than 1, it's more costly or it's less frequent if to exchange AB in this sense and to get a BA than to form a BA to get AB. Okay? So you put some bias in certain exchange. And you put the bias such that ultimately when Q is less than 1, you're going to obtain a phase segregation for, where the system will tend to have all A and then all Bs and then all Cs. To make things simpler, or I don't know whether it's much simpler, I'll consider a ring geometry. So there's no reservoir there, okay? It's I have a certain number of A, B, and C. I shake everything, and I hope for the best and try to see what's going on. So there you understand the importance of this, I mean, why these rules lead to such systems, because, for example, I have A and B here. If the A wants to enter in the B domain, it's going to enter there with a rate Q, which is relatively small, but then it will, or less than one, but then it will have a higher tendency of going back and be ejected from this domain. So therefore, it should lead to phase segregation. I guess this model has been first introduced by Evans, Caffrey, Godouvli, and Mukamel, but then very much studied after that. The interesting scaling to study this model is to look at the weak drift when Q, this bias, is of order 1 over n, beta over n, in fact. And when, within this scaling, one can write macroscopic or hydrodynamic equations which have this form. So basically, you have two autonomous equations in A and B, and C is given by Roué and Roby. Yes. In this case, it's so when Q is strictly less than one, it's not diffusive, and you really have chunk of A, B, and C. Now, if you take this intermediate Q, you can first access to this set of equations, and it turns out that they depend now on the beta. Beta will be the drift, and depending on beta, you have phase transition. So we are on a ring. We fix the density rho A, rho B, and rho C, RB and RC, the mean densities. In this equation, if I plug this constant profile, they are always stationary solution. Okay. However, when beta is less than some critical value, the steady states are given by this constant profile. However, there's some, when beta gets larger, solution of being constant are no longer stable. There's a bifurcation, and the system prefers to create to segregate, basically. So the image will be the following. If you look at the density, that would be the density of rho A on the ring. It's flat, and it's equal to a mean density RA when beta is less than beta critical. And then beyond some value, it starts to be, okay, I don't know how to do it in, it's periodic, and you start to have a modulation. You have more A's at a certain place and more B at other. And if you look, that would be rho of A, sorry. And then you have, say, rho of B would be something like that, and so on. So, and that would occur for B larger than B critical. In fact, this model, and it's kind of strange, but it can be fully understood even at the microscopic level when the three density are equal. Yes? Beta is equal to zero. When Q is equal to one, beta is equal to zero, and then you have rho A, rho B. I mean, the yes, it's uniform conditionally to have these certain densities. Yes. Oh yes. In fact, it's even better if R A, R B, R C are equal to 1/3, it's always reversible. So you have an explicit, so it's not completely easy, but you have an explicit stationary measure, steady state, microscopic one, when for these three densities. And so, for example, Joel has been studying with many other people, has been studying a lot this explicit structure in this model. And in particular, you can compute the large deviation function, you can compute the two-point correlation. And so, Any. Yes. That's strange. But there's an exact balance in the system which makes it reversible. But not for, I mean, the measure is weird. It's a long-range correlation measure. I mean, it's kind of mean field structure. But for this particular measure, it's reversible, yes. So in general, there's none, if you don't, so for general beta and if you don't have these exact densities, the system is off equilibrium and there's a net current of A of B and it's relatively complicated. By looking at this, at the previous equation, you can prove that a second order phase transition should occur for some value of beta critical. Again, for some range of densities, which I don't really want to detail. But the point is that if now you choose beta less than beta critical, you can compute, by the method I explained earlier, you can compute the expansion of the large deviation function before the phase transition, and you get some explicit expression which has this form. You can compute, this is for the correlation between AA, but you can get AB, AC, and so on and so forth. And what is the interesting feature in this expression is that it blows to infinity when you approach phase transition. So it's actually something very, I mean, typical in statistical mechanics. If you look at the easing model, for example, then if you look at the graph of the magnetization, it's flat up to some critical value beyond which say the magnetization grows. And there, if I choose a certain value beta, I have no idea where the transition is going to take place if I just look at the magnetization. I mean, it's uniformly equal to zero. So maybe it's going to happen a bit later or much later, I don't know. However, it's well known that for the Ealing model, the relevant parameter there would be the correlation because they're going to blow. And even when the magnetization remains constant equal to zero, you can really observe that the 2 point of the susceptibility is going to blow at the approach of the phase transition. And then it's more or less the same. When beta is less than beta critical, the optimal profile remains flat. I mean, when you look at the density, it's all flat. However, in the correlation, you observe that this parameter this function is going to blow. It blows very differently from the equilibrium systems. There is always this 1/n correction, and what blows again, it's no longer the correlation length because, the open case for the symmetric simple exclusion, there's no correlation length. Everybody is correlated with everybody. I mean, there's nothing decays there. But the prefactor in front of the correlation blows. Okay. So that's one of the things which can be guessed from the large deviations. Again, what I presented here is only the expansion of the large deviation function. So this would be more thought as a conjecture. How long do I have? 5 minutes. Okay, I want to connect now with the talk of Günther Schütz and present a slightly different model. Consider the weakly asymmetric model on a ring. So there you have particles jumping to the left and to the right, but again you had a small bias, say nu over n. Don't want to speak about the current. And in this case, the stationary measure is completely understood. It's Bernoulli product measure, say, condition to have a given density, because it's on a ring. And there's a mean current in the system. The question I would like to address is the same as Günther proposed. Take a very long stretch of time, say, between minus t and t, and over this very long stretch of time, maybe I should have insisted on So for this microscopic systems, the current can be easily defined in terms of jumps. So we would say that the current increase if a particle jumps, say, from the left to the right, and decrease by one if the particle jumps on the other way. So you have a clear notion of currents in this system, and you may ask, what is the probability? Okay, and you may want to look at a deviation of the current over a very long stretch of time. So then you impose, it's exactly as in Günther talk, you over a very long stretch of time, you impose an atypical current. And the question is, what does the measure look like at time zero in the middle? So over a very long stretch of time, the system has been forced to produce a lot of current. And in the middle, what does the measure look like? So you can define conditionally to this current, you can define a measure, which would be, again, a non-equilibrium measure, which is just this measure at time zero. And the question we'd like to address, again, is what are the correlations in this system? So this is, I insist, for large current, this is related to the work by Popkov, Schütz, and Damien Simon. sorry. So again, one has to be a little bit careful with some critical values, but when one look at the correlation for this system, or at least what, I mean, there again, I translated in terms of correlation, but when one look at the fluctuation of the large deviation, one get explicit expression which says how I and J should be correlated. And this this shows that, for example, okay, you have to look at them quite carefully, but if you want to increase your current, it means that particles would like to be a bit more spaced from each other, and that would lead to repulsive, at least locally repulsive interaction, because they want to be spread. Or if you want to decrease your current, that would lead to attractive interaction, because they'd like to cluster with each other. The funny thing is that if you look at this correlation, you observe again that G would be the atypical current. Sigma is, say, rho 1 minus rho in this case. And you observe that this quantity, or one of the C, actually the first one, C1, is going to blow when G approaches some critical value. So let me rephrase that. So again, you condition your measure over a very long time, and depending on your current, you see that the correlation are going to become, for some values of the current, more and more singular. And this is related to the phase transition we heard in Yannis' talk yesterday. And basically, when you condition the current in such system, some phase transition occurs. Again, before the phase transition, you see nothing. The density would look completely flat. Past the phase transition, the system starts to produce a traveling wave. And what we've been looking at is how this phase transition should emerge, or how can one measure it through the correlation before the phase transition. And we see that singularities are appearing in this correlation. I think I'm over, but I just want to say a little quick thing, because these issues have been a bit raised in some of the talks. In open system, with system with reservoirs, these are grand canonical systems. So basically, you inject particles, they are put in or removed, and you have a fluctuation of density. However, one might ask a question which is very much related to the talk by we had just before. What happens when you condition on the number of particles fixed in your system? This would in equilibrium statistical mechanics, it's really this idea of equivalence of ensembles. How the correlation are modified by this conditioning, and can one compare, say, an open system where the density is not fixed with another one where the density is fixed? So a cheap, I don't know whether it's cheap way, but a simple way of doing it is to look at symmetric simple exclusion on a ring, and we add locally a battery. So this is a joint work with Joël and Bernard Derrida, and locally you put a small bias to your symmetric simple dynamics, symmetric simple exclusion dynamics, where particle locally would tend on one bond to jump a bit more on one side than on the other. Otherwise, you leave the usual dynamics. Turns out that for this system, can compute many things, and in particular, it's a periodic system, so this has a discontinuity, but you see a flat profile exactly, linear profile with some discontinuity exactly as in the open case. You can tune your parameters P and Q so that this linear profile would look very much like the one in the open case. And then the question is, how do they differ? I mean, they look alike. They're very similar. However, I mean, let's take a little bit of this system. What can I compute the equivalence of ensemble? Can I see how they differ? And because there's now two sources of long-range correlation. It's one source we saw is due to the flux, that we've seen it in previous system. However, once the total density is constrained, it's fixed, if I have a cluster of particles here, I know they can be over there. So there's two sources of long-range correlations. So you play with that a little bit, you suffer quite a lot. I just give you an exact expression for this system. And for example, again, what should be predicted for the battery system is a correlation, a two-point correlation with this structure. So that would be the one I mentioned earlier, a symmetric simple exclusion in the open case. And over there, you have several effects which are all mixed together. And in particular, this one is a nasty one. It's indeed due to the battery structure. If just to tell you that, I mean, so far I've been focusing on large deviations, and I told you I think that when I compute something on the large deviation, this should give me something about the two-point correlation function. So this is the formula we got, and these are the numerics. So basically, this is the exact formula for the we looked at the two-point correlation between I and I plus one. Okay. So this is over the system. It's a correlation between I and I plus one for each site. So this is what the formula would predict when you take it on the diagonal. The measurements are collapsing to this formula. There's no adjustable parameter or anything. I mean, it matches very well the prediction. However, I just want to stress that we did not compute the two-point correlation, but just the expansion of the large deviation. So thank you. I'm sorry, I talked too long.